start next Sunday, I'm going to give you a worksheet for each book, like a detailed workbook, detailed sheet, like this examination sheet that will be on each book. And next week, we'll cover Genesis and Exodus. All right? I'm trying to have it to you for Wednesday night that you can have it for Sunday. And it's going to be detailed. It's going to be more than what do the words Genesis mean. It's going to be defined what the message and the prophecy is, defined is, having the chapters in it, who are the patriarchs. It's going to be detailed, what Exodus mean, list of plagues, what's significant. It's going to be really detailed. Because the reason why I'm saying that, because, brethren, you know, we're passing all this stuff out, but I want to make sure you understand what we're passing out, that you're grasping what we're passing out, okay? And like today on the book of Judges, you know, I've given you the judge sheet, but also on the back, I begin to list the judges as well. But I want to get into that a little bit deeper, okay, in relationship to timeline. That we're going to go back and look at Genesis to Exodus and look at each part of the event, and we're going to try to tie it all in. Because, see, a lot of times people are getting this stuff, but do you really understand what you're getting? You put them into your folder, but do you really understand what you're getting? And I want to make sure you understand what you're getting, then continue to pass it out. So when we get the book of Malachi, you understand what is the difference between the southern division and the northern division. You really understand the periods of time of the judges, the kings, the relationship, and how all that had to do with scheme of redemption, grace and truth. You understand what I'm saying? And I want to be able to tie all that in, okay? So hopefully Wednesday night, if I can get enough time to do it, I'm going to try to have it for you. Genesis and Exodus, okay? And the reason why I want to do that, because, see, we want to grow, amen. We want to mature. We want to perfect, amen. And I want to make sure that not only I'm giving you tools, but you know how to work the tools that we're giving you, amen. And that's the point that we need to see. All right, let's put our examination sheet out, and let's continue to look at that very quickly. All right, we stopped at question number 14, James 1:1. Let's go to James, okay? And then we're going to get, always keep your examination sheet in your book, okay? And then that way you don't lose them. And in the future, I'm going to put holes in them, okay? So you can just put them in your folder, okay? Wouldn't that make sense? Okay? All right. We're here to grow, amen? This working time, amen. Ain't right? All right. So let's go ahead and begin quickly. James 1:1. And we're trying to tie it in into that. In relationship, give a reason why we know that you count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Main reason, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endured temptation. But when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life based on the things that I promised. That's the reason why you count it all joy. Amen. We count it all joy because we're here this morning. Amen. Amen. See, that we're able to endure temptation because blessed is the man. Amen. Blessed is the man. See, we're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed by having joy, by enduring temptations so that the man of God, may receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them, okay? And we talked about, number 15, what it means to be double-minded. Double-minded is a two-headed creature. Matthew 6:24, you can't serve two masters, amen. Unstable, see, you really don't know which way you're going. You want to be holy on Sunday, but watch out on Monday, amen. All right? Nothing is wavering. You should mark these in your Bible. Look at your Bible here. See, verse number 6. See, he talks about, but let them act in faith. And you should underline that word, nothing wavering. All right? Why? Because verse 7. Write that word, why? Verse 7. This is the reason why. Why? Verse 7. Why? Why? Because he's double-minded. Amen? And then underline that word, in all his ways. See, all his ways. See, when you're double-minded some way, it makes all your ways guilty. Amen? See, when you're fitting the law at one point, you're guilty of what? The whole law, amen. See, sometimes Chris says, well, I ain't that bad. You understand? Well, I'm trying. Well, that ain't good enough, is Brother Frank. Because you fit in the law at one point, you give them the whole law. That is because you're double-minded in all your ways. Okay, nothing wavering. Number 16. Yes, sir.
Wavering is like the wave of the
sea. That's right.
You got nothing in front of
that.
You're not wavering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wavering is like a wave of
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right. Scratch that word nothing out. Yeah, take that word nothing out. Thank you. Take that word nothing out. Nothing. It should be nothing. Wave should be wavering. That's right. Thank you. Y'all see what he said? See, people make statements like that, they understand. Amen. That's right. Am I right? When you can say that, you understand what we're talking about. Am I right? See, you understand the scripture. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Take that word nothing out and then make it grammatically right. Capitalize the W. All right. You don't have to do that. As long as you understand what that word wavering means. If I can wave in the sea, drift with the wind, and toss, James 1:7. On what day of the week is the Lord's day and significant of the whole church come together in one place to worship God in spirit and truth? All right. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. And I want you to mark these scriptures. All right. 1 Corinthians 11. All right. I want you to mark these scriptures. Significance on the first day of the week. First Corinthians 11. All right. Verse 18. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, verse 20, verse 33. All right, the whole chapter, amen, but those particularly, 14, go to 14 right quick, go to chapter 14 and verse 23. And by verse 33 of chapter 11, write 14, 23, so you know it's there. All right, y'all with me? So what you got is 18, 20, 33, right? And by 33, just write 14, 23, and you'll know what that is. And the significance of that is this, and people don't understand this here. See, why do we worship John 4:24, God in spirit and in truth? See, when the whole church comes together in one place, amen, for a specified purpose, right? And that specified purpose to do all five items of worship, am I right? See, we do it to unify, amen. We do it to bond, amen. Amen. Everybody knows that a week has a first day, am I right? So the question I ask all the time to anybody, even to myself, what's more important than the Lord's Day? What can you put in front of the Lord's Day? Is money more important? Is the job more important? So because you know that every first day, every week has a first day, the Bible gives an example that the whole church came together in one place for a specified purpose. Amen. Amen. It's like someone tell you, Sister Cat, well, on your job every Friday from 9 to 12, paychecks going to be given out. When do you expect paychecks to be given out? On Friday from 9 to 12. Am I right? You're not going to come at 4 o'clock in the evening, are you? No, because they told you when they're going to be what? Well, same thing. The Bible tells us when the whole church come together, we have an example to come together what? In one place. Am I right? To do a specified time. And see, that one place here at Fair Park is at 11 o'clock. Amen. We come together to worship, do our five items of worship. Amen. See, so it's your responsibility. See, now if you put something important in front of it, who to blame? You are to blame. Why? Because you know that the early church came together in one place to do that. Amen. That's the significance of it. Amen. Am I right? Now, Bible class is something that we need. Amen. See, we come to do this, Philippians 4:12, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, we come to do this here to mature. We come to do this to perfect. Amen. But this don't have nothing to do with at 11 o'clock. Amen. That's when the whole church come together in one place, am I right, to do it. Now, if you prioritize to put something in front of it, that's between you and the Lord. Amen. But for my house, that's the only house I can speak of, amen. I know that if you live in my house, we're going to go to church. Now, you don't have to go to church, but you're going to leave my house. You can't stay up in there. Am I right? We just tell folks a long time ago, when we have visitors, you come to visit, bring church clothes. Back then, that was folks had church clothes. Nowadays, times have changed. Because people wear what they want to wear. And the reason why, because when you knew that when you come to our house, everybody goes to church. Amen. Amen. Now, that's my house. You can do what you want to do in your house. And the reason why, because I know that every first day that we got to worship God in what? But see, that's not the point. That's not the point that you got to make somebody do it. It's that mindset. Right? It's that mindset. See, it's being transformed, folks. It's not being conformed, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And until you understand that, guess what? Worship not going to mean nothing to you. Because you don't know the reason why you need to come. Amen. And I think if more people understood that the Lord, for the foundation of the world, that was preordained, amen, his will, the perfect law of liberty, understood, number one, well, why do we come? And we're going to talk about that this morning as we begin to look at the five items of worship. See, we come for a specified period of time, for fellowship, to be in the light, because he's in the midst with us, amen. See, we have fellowship one with another, amen. We who was on time, we hug one another, amen. Glad to see you. Good to see you, Carol Taylor, amen. We had good fellowship, am I right? Because we all was here. We all saw the need to be here, amen. Am I right? Not only do you do a fellowship, but you unify. See, look how strong when the whole church comes versus five comes. You see the point that I'm saying? See, and that's the point that I'm saying. And until you see that, now all this other stuff have been added. You see what I mean? And I'm not saying nothing wrong with it. But it's been added. But see, that's the reason why. You know, when we come and do it there. It's like, we already did all five items of worship, so why are we going to do it again? That's why we don't give the Lord's Supper a second time. Because we don't done it. Am I right? So don't need to duplicate the process, right? Now, if it's your fault, it's your fault that you didn't do it in the morning time, who to blame when the Lord already told you you're supposed to be here? Who to blame? You are. You are. We used to have a rule in our house, and time brings about changes. But when Sean and Eric were little boys, we used to have a rule that at 6 o'clock every evening, we ate together. Now, if you weren't there at 6 o'clock and eat, when we got through eating, I all sat together at the table, and we ate together at a specified time every day. Now, if you got there after dinner was over with, you didn't get no dinner. It wasn't talking about, well, can you feed me a plate? No. You both have been there at 6 o'clock. You should see them running, boy. They'd be at the park. And I could hear them coming, trying to get there by 6 o'clock because they knew that they wanted to eat. You understand what I'm saying? And the reason why, it wasn't being mean, but it's a time that we as a family got together to fellowship. We talk. We share. You understand what I'm saying? We ask Bible questions. We discuss the Bible. We discuss your day. It's a time for the family to unify. And see, families have gotten away from that. See, families used to sit down for breakfast. Used to sit down for dinner. Used to sit down at least one time in a given day where you can have family unity. Amen? See, and that was a rule. And they knew that rule. See, they knew that rule. They knew that if they got there at 6:30, it wasn't no dinner. You just didn't get none. They didn't have to miss too many dinners. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So it's the same thing. Not the same thing, but it's an antitype that is that the Lord expects us to respect him enough. If you say you're a Christian, well, respect me enough to come when the saints come to fellowship, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, you look at John 4:24, God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, is that the proper spirit, maybe? When you put something over him? You understand what I just said? Is that the proper spirit? That word spirit means attitude, right? Is that the proper spirit? See, when we are late, see, that's disrespectful. Right? It's examination time, am I right? Am I right? See, you get up in time to go to work on time, right? Because some jobs write you up, don't they? If you're late so many times, you get so many points, they'll fire you. Right? So you respect that to be on time. Why can't you respect the Lord? Don't get mad with me now. I'm just trying to make us think. This is the Lord's day, amen. It's nothing more important, amen. You know, y'all know I'm going to school over there. And I think this teacher's just sometimes rude. He locks the door at 8:05. I'm serious. One girl told him, says, sir, you don't understand. I had to take my mom out to 280. Her car broke down. She had to be at work at 6:30. I had to come back. I had two little brothers and sisters. I had to make sure they got to school. And then I got to get Wayne over here. He said, I don't care. He said, class start at 8 o'clock. I'll give you 5-minute grace period. That is that when he started a test, you ain't there, boom. We give speeches. If you ain't there at specified time, boom, he locks the door. And I say, you know, he's trying to teach them responsibility. Responsibility. Now, you can give all the excuses you want to, but it's not going to stop you for what? Correcting your mistake. You know, in the notes, he says, when you get them to give a speech, don't wear blue jeans. A couple of girls have blue jeans on. He said, you can't speak today. They took him to the dean. He said, I don't care. He said, what the notes say? Don't wear no blue jeans. He said, I'm not bagging up. He said, I give you a synopsis before the class even start. You understand what I'm saying? And you're going to go by him. Then he said, he right. He got it written. He gave it to you. So the point that I'm saying, we got to see the importance of what the Bible is saying. If the Bible never told us when the whole church come together in one place, well, we make it get around it. Amen. But because the Bible tells you, I gave you the scripture, you see the scripture. If something more important than you being here, well, you can't blame the Lord. Amen. It's your fault. And you got to see it that way. I'm going to see it that way. You know why I'm going to see it that way, Brother Frazier? Because that's what the Bible says. Because if you don't, you're not going to see the significance of this day. Ain't nothing more important. I don't care if you make a fault of laws out. It ain't nothing more. See what they have done. See, you say, okay. Well, I can't come in the morning, so what I do, well, I come in the afternoon, and I can do the same thing. See, when you add to God's word, see, then you bring problems. Because see, what it do, it give you a choice. And with God, there ain't no choice. See, you got to do it the way God exactly tell you to do it. See, in Genesis 2, with Adam and Eve, he didn't give them a choice, did he? He said, but God, you may freely eat, but the tree of good and evil, thou shalt eat thou, that you eat thou, you were sure to what? He didn't say, the tree of good and evil and another tree. He said, he gave them a specified tree, didn't he? Am I right? See, in God, there ain't no choice. He just tell you what to do. With Noah, he didn't say, all right, Noah, build me an ark. All right, Noah, you can use gopher wood, a little oak, and a little pine. He didn't say that, did he? He specified what? Gopher. Well, Abraham, he didn't tell him, well, take your only son, or you have a choice. If you got a nephew, if you don't want to use him, bring him. What did he say? His son. And see, you can walk throughout the whole Bible, and God ain't never gave man a choice. God gave man a specific command. Specific. And that's the same way. In grace and truth. And see, when you begin to add to God's word, when people say, well, the Lord know I got to work today. Well, so therefore, if I can't come in the morning, I come in the evening. Well, you got to make a decision. Because you can't be double-minded, amen. You can't be wavering, amen. You got to make a decision whom you're going to serve, amen. What's more important? Amen. For you took that job, you knew it was the first day, didn't you? Am I right? And you knew that you had to be here, am I right? So you should say, well, I can't take the job because I can't work on Sunday morning. Now I work on Sunday evening, but I can't work during the 11 o'clock period. Oh, you give me a two-hour period that I can leave from 11 to 1, and I wouldn't believe that because they'll change their mind on that. You understand what I'm saying? Because you ain't got but one soul, folks, right? And when you lose that, you ain't got nothing. Y'all got that? Now, if you disagree, let me know. Then people say, well, I don't understand why they're doing away with it. See, you don't understand because you don't understand Scripture. If you understand the scripture, see what apostolic doctrine did, you understand. Am I right? Am I right? See, and that's the point that we need to understand. Okay, you got that. All right, let's go to number. Okay, we talked about that. 17. Name the 5 hours of worship that we Christians do on the first day of the week. All right? All right? All right. John, give me the first one. Give me a scripture. All right, give me a number for you. Give me another. Item. Yes. Praying, where you get that at? 1 Thessalonians 5:21. All right, give me another one, brother. Giving, what you got there? All right, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Well, give me another, brother Spirit. You got one? You out of time, so we leave you alone. Okay, you want to give me one? John, give me another. We sung, we prayed. And we gave our Lord's Supper. Acts 27. 1 Corinthians 11. 23 to 29. Y'all got that? All right, give me one of the last, my friend. What's that? What's the scripture? Acts 2:42. See, you should know these things. This Sunday, this morning, we're going to start talking about singing, okay? And we're going to cover every one of them, amen. Last week, we talked about what is the church, right? We talked about the ecclesia. Did we talk about that? So today, we're going to talk about the five items of worship that we do in the church, amen. And we're going to tie all this in, amen. Because, see, you should know that. You should be able to say, singing, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, Hebrews 13:15, 1 Corinthians 14:15. You should say, praying, Acts 2:42. He said over here in 1 Thessalonians what? 5:21. All right. Lord's Supper, Acts 20:7, 1 Corinthians 11. He talked about that. Am I right? See, you should be able to give them all out. You should write them down, folks. See, you should know these things. Amen. Because, see, how in the world are you going to see the importance of the first day of the week when you don't know what we do on the first day of the week? And why we do it on the first day of the week? Amen. See, you got to know these things. Amen. See, and we're going to see singing wipes out group singing, bebopping, humming, all that stuff. Amen. You're going to see it in a minute when we talk about that. Amen. We're going to define what singing is. Don't that make sense? Because you got a lot of churches of Christ. Boom, 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 boom. Are they group singing? Amen. See, we're going to talk about that. Amen. But you don't. You ain't going to know that if you don't understand Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 14:15, sing with the Spirit. How you going to understand what's about the humming? What can you understand with humming? We're going to talk about that, amen? People don't know that. Guess what, church? If everybody knew that, we wouldn't be what, doing it, am I right? Are we being too particular? That's understanding, am I right? So you can be able to worship God in what? What good, Melon, you driving all the way over here getting up early if it ain't in spirit, ain't in truth? Don't make no sense with it. We might as well stay at home, am I right? But see, you should memorize and understand these things. That's why we talk about them, am I right? Right? What's the gift of God, Acts 2:38, and explain how we as Christians have the perfect law of liberty. All right, you need to write John 14:26. You need to write John 15:26. You need to write John 16:13. You need to write 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All right, and then tie all that in to James 1:25. That is, how it was given and brought us to the day. John 14:26, it was a comforter, all right? Then it was a spirit of truth, am I right? It's going to bring back remembrance of all those things that I taught you. Here you go. You didn't get them. 14:26 of John, 15:26 of John, 16:13 of John. Then you're going to take you all the way to 1 Corinthians 13 by verse 8, am I right? And then from that, for we know in part and prophesy in part, but with that which is perfect comes, that in part shall be what? Done away with till now, James 1:25, we got the perfect law of liberty. Amen. And then you might want to tie in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Amen. Y'all get that? I'm going to slow it down because I want you to write it down. Amen. Because see, if you don't do that, you're not going to submit. You ain't going to resist. You can't draw. And you ain't going to be humble and he ain't going to exalt you, right? Am I right? See, if you don't know that 66 books, am I right? You know 39:27, how you going to submit to something you don't know what it is? Don't that make sense? Y'all read? I'm giving you one more time. John 14:26, 15:26, 16:13, John. And when you get time, mark it in your Bible. And then you're going to tie it in over to 1 Corinthians 13:5. Then you're going to tie that in over to James 1:25, the perfect law of liberty, what we have, right? Right? And then 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, there's many, many more scriptures that deal with that, but those are the ones primarily that you need. All right? And you'll be hearing them. Amen. When you get through the sheet, don't throw it away. Because we'll be going back to it. Amen. Amen. It's a hole punched somewhere downstairs. I got to find it. We need to bring it up if you want to punch a hole in this sheet. All right? Then Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You ever see the gift of the Holy Spirit? The gift of the Holy Spirit is the word. Amen. Now, Acts 2:38, it's an apostolic miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit that was promised to the apostles to confirm the word that later turned to be, James 1:25, the word. The results of it. that came from it. 1 Corinthians 16:19, that Brother Brown's favorite scripture, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? See, that gift get there through what? That's that next question, through study, right? See, we get some Holy Ghost this morning, ain't we? Is that a proper phrase? All right. That's the word, am I right? Huh? For us, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. For us, amen. Guess what? The Holy Spirit, that gift don't exist in sinners, amen. Where darkness is, light don't exist, am I right? Am I right? See, go back. See, if you don't understand how to worship God in spirit and in truth, you can't get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right or wrong? You understand that? And they say, we out of fellowship. They say, what's wrong with those folks over at Fowl Park? I need to say, what's wrong with you? Amen. Am I right? Y'all got that? Then 2 Corinthians 13:5, write it big as you can. Study every day. Study off this you can every day. How often? Every day. Sometimes two or three times a day. I'm telling you, folks, you live in a world today, it's easy. All of you got iPhones. All of you got Android phones. All of you got iPads. All of you got tablets. Amen. Well, I ask the question, how many of you got a tablet or iPad? Most of you raise your hand. How many of you got iPhone or Android phone? Most of you raise your hand. It's easy. Android programs are free. See? What I say, Olive Garden, Olive Book. See, there's so many programs that you can download, amen. Amen. See, that you can use every day. And not only those programs you can use, but you can tap on them, you can highlight them. Some of them give you the Septuagint Greek meaning of words, amen. So you can tap on it, and they'll tell you, you can be reading the scripture, you say, what that word mean? You can hit it, and it'll tell you everything you want to know about it. Before, we had to use Strong, didn't we, brother? See, we had to use those two or three big old books we had to turn around. Look up the word, then go to another book to find the meaning of the word. What that number is, you forget the number. See, now you don't have to do that. Am I right? Take advantage of it, amen? See, some of us, we took cell phone. We'll lose our billfold over our cell phone. I lost my billfold. Oh, that's all right. Oh, jeez, my cell phone gone. We cry with losing the cell phone, don't we? Yeah, I bet I do this two or three times a day. I don't have it on. I think I'm wearing suspenders. But use them like this here. Sometimes you hit the here. That's where my cell phone be on my side. And a lot of times that cell phone in there, you start looking. Y'all know what I did one time? I'm going to tell on myself. I'm sitting right there. And I did this here. And my cell phone was gone. I don't want my cell phone there. All right. And they were singing. You know what I did? I left church, sneaked out, got in my truck, drove home, got my cell phone, came back, y'all were still singing. I repented. That's crazy, ain't it? But this is how we just get so hung up on cell phones, am I right? It's just the world we live in. You remember Mel a long time ago? Miss Mary Kay, you might not be old enough. Miss Mary Kay, we used to fuck up, we didn't have a home phone, did we? See, one or two people in the neighborhood had them, didn't they? We'd go borrow our neighbor's phone. But now, in my house, we got five cell phones. Even Barrett started getting a broke phone to play with, because he loved to play with phone. He knew it won't come on. He want her phone, you know what I'm talking about? Because he started punching on it. You see, I don't know what he be punching for, but they come and learn how to punch. Am I right? It's just the world we're living in. But I said all that, say it here. Study. You got the tools to study with, amen. Use them. In case you never went to our website, www.fowlparkchurchofchrist.com. Go to the website. I mean, it linked to other. Go to East Albaville. You need to write this one down. East Albaville have one of the best websites I ever seen. Man, that's something they've been building 50 years. Man, you can find anything you want on East Albaville. And guess what? It's safe. Now, some websites I ain't going on. Amen. And don't ask me to name who it is. Amen. But East Albaville, I ain't going to tell you to go on a lot of them neither, because I'm not sure about it. But East Albaville is good. Amen. Use it. Amen. See? And implement it with the Word of God. So that word study, you need to write that down. Now, explain the word church. All right, we talked about ecclesia, then we talked about last week, right? The called out body, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, how we're called by the what? We're called by the gospel of the word. Amen. Am I right? Church called out by it. Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, hearing by what? The word of God. Acts 2:47, the Lord will add you to the what? Church. Amen. Church, ecclesia, called out by it. That's what the word church means. You write Matthew 16:18 down. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, a lot of people don't know what the church is. Well, they knew what the church is, they wouldn't be doing what they do in the church. Amen. Am I right? Y'all know what? The church is nothing but a spiritual vehicle to get us from earth to heaven. That's all it is. It's not an entertaining institution, not a social institution. It's not a place for carnality. It's a spiritual vehicle. Amen. The only reason why we meet in this building is for convenience. If we had a house big enough where we can meet in, we'll meet like the early church did, from house to house daily. That's all this is. We put too much emphasis on a church building. See, people spend millions and millions of dollars on a church building. It don't mean nothing, amen. It's just for convenience. That's all it is. But the church is a spiritual vehicle to get us from earth to heaven. You get saved, get in the church, and wait till Jesus come, because he's going to deliver the church back to the what? Father, amen. Amen. So therefore, in the church, you don't need carnality. Ephesians 4:12, write this down. The work of the church is threefold. Save souls. Number two, benevolence for the saints only. And then number three is to edify the body spiritual. That is, we're edifying the body now. Amen. Amen. See, we have aids that the church spend money on so that we can get materials to use to edify with. Amen. But the church is not a social institution. It's not for gymnasiums. It's not for fancy dinners. See, you eat at home. You got a house to eat at home. All right? Paul talked about that. Do you have homes to eat in? Amen. Why? Because it's not the place. Because we come here to be fed spiritually. Amen. That's the way you got to see it. Amen. And you can't see it another way. Sometimes people say, well, I'm a member of this church because they got a great youth program. Well, your mom and dad got a great youth program too. It's their job to raise you. Ain't the church job to raise your children? Is it? You raise your children at home, amen? See, you want to be a Boy Scout? You take them to Boy Scout. You want to be a Girl Scout? You take them to Girl Scout. You want to play hockey? You take them. You want to play basketball? You take them. Ain't the church responsibility, amen? It's your responsibility, amen? That's the same thing about school. The church don't support school. You pay for your own children's tuition, don't you? Yes, you do. He said, yes, sir. It's your job. Amen. See? You got a little children, buy them a 501B. Tax deferred education plan when they live. It's tax deferred. It's a government program. Amen. Then you start saying when they're a baby. Because you know if they get grown, they got to go to school. Amen. It ain't the church's responsibility. The church can't support Christian education. Now, I'm not against Christian education. Amen. But it ain't our job. See, but people don't see that. Amen. And the reason why they do it, because school churches are supporting Free Holloman, David Liskin, Faulkner University. They're supporting these schools. But it's wrong. Because that's not the role of the church. What's the role of the church? Get us to heaven. Amen. See, when you get to heaven, he's not going to ask you what kind of degree you got. Amen. See, it don't matter whether you got a PhD, bachelor's degree, it don't even matter. What's never going to be matter is, do you have a BA and you've been born again? And that's 1 Corinthians 5:1. And the only way you know you're born again, if you love God, and you love God, you're going to keep his commandments. Amen. Am I right? So the only kind of degree you got to have. Amen. Ain't like that Jax commercial. Y'all ain't seen that yet? Huh? What's your name? Mean, what you die from? How old are you? Ain't old enough. What's the last meal you had? Jax. You got some of them French fries. And then he pops up with wings. And then, back, 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 Jack, Jack, Jack. Hey, that's the dumbest thing you ever want to hear. That's about the dumb as the Pope red shoes. Who cares? They gave him some more, some brown ones, so it don't matter. Well, you are red or brown. About as crazy. You know what the crazy thing about You watch CNN and the TV, and they say, oh, this go back 2,000 years ago. They don't know. It don't go back no 2,000 years because the Catholic Church didn't pop up to around 600. Amen. 606. See, and then it was called a universal church. It was not called a Catholic church. You know what? You know what made them change the name from universal to Catholic when they had an argument of whether to use instrumental music or not. What split the universal church was that someone agreed that they should bring in instrumental music, and it split it from what is the Roman Catholic, and then to the Greek Orthodox. See, the Greek Orthodox have their Pope too. The Catholic Church have their Pope too. But before they was all one. All right? Instrumental music. That reason why when you go to something very, very conservative Greek Orthodox church, they don't even use instrumental music today. Now some of them like us have progress, have diverse. See, to add to. Okay? But that's what broke them up. Instrumental music. Because see, before then, instrumental music was not in the church. Well, not there. Even Martin Luther. You read Martin Luther, and the Lutherans, a part of his thesis that he nailed on the door was that was wrong. And one thing I understood about Martin Luther, at least he had some guts to stand up to the Catholic Church and tell them what they were wrong. And he begged them on his deathbed not to name the church after him, but they did. And where the Lutherans came in about. But anyway, but see, church is a spiritual vehicle. Amen. That's all it is. That's all we're here for, to grow. We're not here for no other reason, amen. When you leave here, if you're not a little bit better than where you came, somewhere else. Whoever your preacher is, if he's not teaching you, y'all need to find. Amen. And I mean that. Me too. Faithful brother, he ain't doing the job, and he ain't studying like he's supposed to. And you can tell when he ain't studying, because he can't deliver. Amen. You need to fire him. See. And I'm not going to let none of you brothers get up in the pulpit unless you prepare and need it. Because it ain't fair. Right? Because see, guess what? When we lose this hour, we ain't going to get nothing this way. You ain't going to get it back, so why waste it? Amen? For somebody trying to entertain you. Come on, man. Man, we come here to get something, amen. Ain't you getting something this morning? Amen. All right? That's it right there. That's the last one. Y'all got all that? Now, if y'all didn't get the other 14 answers, see somebody or work them out yourself. All right, prefer you work them out yourself. Now, next week, hopefully Wednesday night, I'm going to give you Genesis and Exodus, okay? All right, and I don't know when we're going to cover it, but we're going to do it. All right, brother, here's your accountability sheet for everybody. And this one is Judges. Somebody want to pass out. What you need, bro? You need one from last week? Okay, let me see what we did last week. Here you go, bro. Come up here and get it, bro. You mind? Come on, bro. You need Joshua, right? You got numbers? Well, I got them both up here. Did you get accountability sheet, bro Spear? I mean, did you get the sheet that we just did? Everybody got that sheet? Okay, you got a double-sided sheet. Oh. Whew. My. Everybody have a folder made? Now, if you need a folder, see me. I got a folder I can give you. Y'all heard what I just said? If you do not have a folder, I got a folder. Miss Barbara was so kind to give us some last Lord's Day. So if you need one, okay, you got that, brother. Thank you. Cut that off. Cut the machine. Did we do Joshua last week? Mm-hmm.